There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting 2 young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. My, oh, my. Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong. Las Culturistas calling.
Back in tactile.
Tactile position.
Talk to us about the mozzarella stick numbers that you were working
so with. So, I don't know why this was the answer to how I should end my night, but I get home, it's 3:30 in the morning, I get stoned and order mozzarella sticks, bad, because I know I have to wake up at, let's say, 10 to sort of mentally prepare and, you know, cleanse
myself,
really physically prepare for the podcast today. And last night I'm ordering my mozzarella sticks and I see it says 6 mozzarella sticks. And in my mind, that's not enough.
Right.
And then this morning, when everything sort of settles, you think you didn't need one.
That's the devil's math.
That's
with mozzarella sticks. But I feel you.
6 feels like nothing, right?
I think 6 is more than enough. I order mozzarella sticks, the last time I ordered mozzarella sticks was at Alamo Draft House.
What?
Watching The Boy.
That's
the Boy and the Heron. And I had to leave in the middle because of work call.
Of a work call?
They
is that
said,
what you call violent shit?
No, it was not. What?
Because I know you.
You
the second we both went in here today, we both ran to the bathroom, and I knew what that was.
No.
For me, it was a mozzarella stick
situation. It was a work call.
Okay.
This is all to say I got 6, and I only finished 4.
That's a huge brag and an insult to me.
No.
It was ravenous last night for them.
But last night was very celebratory.
It really was.
It's very nice. Io did great.
What an unbelievable performance she had.
Very, very fun.
I mean, I think about between 12 and 15 people said this, and it just kind of kept getting kicked around. But
yes.
This is like the Bell House. This is like the Bell House. Uh-huh. But it really was. It felt like a celebration.
It was very nice.
We made it.
Proud of her. Now, what was your review of the Countess Cabaret?
I still have the shakes. Not because necessarily because of the talent, but she was great. The Countess Luann as 54 Below was, she certainly has star quality. But there's something that happens where she steps on stage and sort of everyone looks at each other and you go, we're getting blacked out. We're all drinking so much tonight.
I asked you, was it like going to the Disney World character breakfast?
It was not unlike that.
It was like seeing Goofy come out while you're eating a Mickey-shaped pancake.
Let's say Minnie Mouse. Let's be kind.
Minnie.
Let's not say Goofy comes out.
Okay. No.
Keep
that's
that
not
in.
What I,
he's
that's,
gonna want you to take
that. That's not what
out.
I was saying, Lou. If you're watching, if you're
listening,
you're
just saying Lou had the impact of Goofy.
Yes.
Yeah. Not anything to do with
the air gets sucked out.
Right, 100%. Like when Goofy walks in the room, it's like Nicole Kidman in the Chanel No. 5 commercial by Baz Luhrmann.
It's just like that.
You know the commercial I'm talking about.
I think so.
Speaking of fragrances, I want you to smell me right here and tell me what it is.
Okay,
go. You know what this is.
Byredo.
No, it's Axe.
Oh,
so I have, yesterday I said to Bowen, I'm like, I have no deodorant in New York. I don't know what happened. My New York apartment has no deodorant. And my mother was like, I want to get you something for Christmas. I said, don't. I don't want anything. She goes, okay, I'll get you a bunch of little small things.
Mm-hmm.
10 Axe deodorants, which is both a trigger to like high school locker room and also quite out of fashion.
But that is like the timeless, enduring thing about suburban life is that you're never more than a half a mile away from Axe.
From an Axe body spray. Especially from Long Island, that's like a big culture.
No.
Axe body spray.
Yes.
And so I am walking around and it's sort of like a little bit of heaven, a little bit of hell. Mm-hmm. I am a little triggered.
Mm.
But also it's horny.
It's horny. Well,
that's why I wanted you to smell me, to get you horned up for the episode.
Speaking of getting horned up.
Speaking of horny.
Speaking of horny, I think everyone's horny for, well, first of all, Restless Leg Tour. We're talking 11 days at the Beacon?
11 days at the Beacon?
11 nights at the Beacon.
Well, I mean, yeah, I love my surprise. I'm like, well, of course.
Well, of course. And it's the Beacon. And so if you're
Beacon.
In New York, I think they're all sold out, but
well, yeah,
kind of elbow your way in.
Are you going to sign the wall?
I hope so. Am I allowed to?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And I mean, obviously, if you guys want to come.
Oh.
When is it?
It's
well, I guess there's 11
7th
days.
Through the
19th.
19th. Thank yeah. you for doing the math real quick.
I did the math. And
18th.
Yeah. Okay, wait. Math. Now we have to officially bring her in because now. Because
okay, wait,
that can't be the entrance.
Hold on. Really
that
quickly.
That was so weak.
No, not weak. Girls 5 Eva is coming back on Netflix.
Okay, thank
three.
Fucking God, because I had been wondering about that.
Oh, yeah. It's coming.
Oh.
March is going to be a big month. For humanity. And Mean Girls the musical, of course, the movie. Oh, we're not calling it the musical, I'm
no,
sorry.
No, we're calling it Mean Girls 2024.
We're calling it Mean Girls
which
2024.
Which I texted you about it. I said 10 times, I said it's called Mean Girls 2024.
Mean Girls, eighth note in the negative space where the A is.
Do you know what's funny? This person created and started our favorite movie and our favorite show.
Yeah.
And I'm not even talking about Saturday Night Live, which also is in the top two of favorite shows
oh, yeah.
under 30 Rock.
Oh, for sure.
Can you imagine, just go back in time and tell us in 2016 when we started this, that Tina Fey is going to be on the podcast.
So Tina Fey is going to be on the podcast. And you know what I thought in the shower this morning? I thought...
What did you think in the shower? Where you do your best thinking.
This is where I thought Worldwide Pants took down all of the Tina Fey on Letterman interviews, and those were my fucking comfort watches in college.
Seth told you, though, that you could find it somewhere else.
Yeah, I think Seth lied.
Liar.
Why'd they take them down?
I think Letterman wants to protect his content. I don't know.
Oh, I see.
I can't possibly begin to understand. And then also, I mean, so many things. You love her. You really love this person so much, don't you? I'm talking to you,
the
royal you. Everyone, welcome.
Tina Fey!
Hello, gentlemen. Hello.
Hi. And they applauded the crew.
Hello!
By the way, this episode is directed by Christopher Nolan. It's Oppenheimer, the film. It's crazy.
Well, a lady needs a lot of lights.
And the gentlemen need a lot of lights.
The gentlemen need a lot of lights. Blow out the Countess Lou from
please,
my face.
Please.
Are you familiar with the Countess Lou?
Yes. That is the original sort of Real Housewives New York era.
Yeah.
That was my era. I once chased Countess Luann down the street on the Upper West Side because I was so... I was like, she's on the Upper West Side.
Yeah,
I chased
right.
her in
Major.
Front of that restaurant West that used to be there. And I was like, I basically was like, right. I was like, Countess. And I was like, I work at NBC too.
I'm a Universal girl.
We also work for Universal.
Yeah, we brushed elbows at the upfronts.
Yes.
So wait, when you were watching Roni... Like, were you sort of like, I'm Bethany, like, I'm like with
her?
Well,
first of all, no, I'm not Bethany.
No way, no way.
Thank you. No, I used to watch the season one. I used to really love, like, season one.
Yeah.
You guys were probably in middle school. Because it was before, nobody was aware. No one was, like, working the camera yet. And it was just really, I just wanted to see people's apartments.
I get it.
I wanted to see their apartments
closets.
And make judgments. And I didn't need them to be fighting about stuff.
No.
I just wanted... And so who was it? You know who I was obsessed with at that time was Alex.
McCord.
Alex McCord.
That was essentially... Had the show gone in a different direction, which was we just watched these people live their crazy lives and
yes.
it wasn't like as conflict-driven,
yes.
she would have been a hero.
She would have been the show.
Yeah.
But
totally.
I think because people gravitated towards... You know,
that's so funny though, because I think Architectural Digest home tours have like scratched the itch or like taken mm-hmm. over that little fascination we have of like people's homes, and
yeah.
like that's fully been supplanted.
Right,
and
Zillow
housewives.
Just being like, just go on
yeah.
Zillow
right.
and look in apartments.
100%.
But remember when she was redoing her Brooklyn townhouse and Jill Zarin came over and she's like, "We're restoring this banister," and she was like, "Honey, you don't have to save everything. That's not a good banister." Like she, and Jill Zarin, oh my
Jill
God,
Zarin.
She's incredible. Yeah, who else was in that original?
Ramona.
Ramona.
I just recently picked, I for some reason, this was on. It was the fashion show episode where Ramona walked with those crazy eyes.
Yes.
And Jill is just dragging and just like killing it in the front row.
Yeah.
Comedically.
Comedically. Totally.
She was really on fire.
Yeah.
They kind of, by like their second season. So this was not the phenomenon back then either, but it wasn't this thing where like they saw themselves for the first time on TV and then they got the work done.
Yeah.
Just like facially.
Which happens
let's say.
To everyone. Uh-huh. I mean, or you see yourself on TV and you go, oh no.
Oh yeah, breakdown.
Oh no, what are we going to do about this?
You're like, that's my face all the time.
Yeah.
People see my face as that?
Yeah.
Speaking of Universal, do you have any thoughts about this Epic Universe announcement?
Yeah, because we know you're a Disney gay like us.
Well, listen, I'm going to check it out.
Yes. Yeah.
My gut instinct is, oh, honey, it's SNL Mad TV.
Uh-huh.
That there's not
so?
The tastemaker at the core.
You're right.
Defines the thing, right? And so Walt Disney
is Lauren.
But I'll go.
Yeah. No, you're going to be there.
But I'll go.
And we like Mad TV.
And there are amazing things at Mad TV and amazing, hilarious people came out of Mad
100%.
TV. But there just wasn't that unifying core.
Sure.
Yeah,
taste.
Totally.
Well, what if I told you this? So one of the announcements they said was that there's going to be a Frankenstein ride.
Mm-hmm.
And the star of the pre-show is Victoria Frankenstein. The great-granddaughter of Dr. Victor.
But is that the Diablo Cody movie that's coming?
That's Lisa. I conflated those last week.
Okay.
A lot of girl boss Frankensteins happening right now in the culture. We have to differentiate.
Yes. Universal's trying to use that.
I'm just saying.
The Universal Monsters catalog in fun ways, and I'm enjoying that.
Yeah.
If you went in there and said, I'll play Dr. Victoria Frankenstein, first of all, you'd book
like
immediately.
17 shows a week. 17 9-minute shows
performing
a week.
Performing every day.
You wouldn't even do the pre-show?
Would I do a queue?
The queue, that's what we mean.
The queue.
A queue, I mean, listen, is in my heart of hearts, am I holding out for a Disney queue? Of course. Did I at one point try to volunteer me and Amy Poehler to do Sarah Palin and Hillary Clinton for the Hall of Presidents, and they were like, we're good.
Oh my God.
Well, I only volunteered it to my friend who's like the guy.
Yeah.
To Sam.
Sam is a huge part
Sam
of our
Loomis.
Life now too.
Sam. Oh my God, that makes me so happy.
We went there. He loves you.
Yeah,
I love him.
I know. You can tell it's a special relationship.
It really is.
The Disney relationship is a special relationship, and that's actually real culture number 88.
The Disney relationship is a special relationship. God bless Sam, because Sam took us on Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind no less than 7 times.
Which is not medically advisable.
No. Have you done it?
Yes. It's beautiful. But I'm at an age where I can do it once. Also, you don't not see a lot of protein spills outside Guardians.
Oh, 100%.
And just for clarity, that is vomit.
Well, I've become that girl that's like, when the part of the ride that makes people nauseous comes up, I'm like, keep looking at the planet.
Yes.
Keep looking at the planet. Don't look to the side. You're going to fuck yourself up.
You
and people don't really listen.
You have your strategies.
Yeah, I have my strategies.
Yeah.
Well, I knew this about all of us that we shared this.
And that's why I bring it up.
And that's why, now correct me if I'm wrong, you've been on the Avatar Flight of Passage ride.
Of course, yes.
Don't you think that should be him in the pre-show?
100%.
Just explaining what the Banshees are.
You have the scientific gravitas to carry that pre-show through.
I don't want us to fully raise a middle finger to that guy, though.
It's not about him. This is about you. This is about what's best for you to be in that pre-show. He did fine.
The guy in that queue, and I don't know if this is a true story or a story that I made up for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Either way.
But I feel like someone else was supposed to shoot that, and then and something went wrong, and they were like, you have to do it.
You made that up.
Yeah, I think you made that up.
Here's who'll know. Sam.
Oh, 100%. Isn't it great to have a resource?
Yes.
The Disney relationship is a special relationship. You go to that person for information like this.
Can I tell you a deep Disney nerdery thing?
100%.
That if it interests you, I could try to get you in on this.
Let's do it.
Okay, so have you ever done a voice at Pixar?
A voice at Pixar? No.
That's an oversight. That needs to happen.
Okay, good.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, I think
famously you have.
I got lucky enough to do one. You know, the guy, Pete Docter, who runs Pixar, super
legend.
Nice guy, legend, the kindest, loveliest man. And he invited me in on this super nerdy thing that sometimes they do where they used to do it in person, but during the pandemic, they were doing it over Zoom, where they just have literally like someone found a case of like weird B-roll building the park footage and they just play it like they haven't seen it. And it's just like from like 1971, we're building the Haunted Mansion. And it's just like raw footage of nothing but like guys working. And then there's experts on who, like they're all these Imagineers who are talking about what it is. And then they just drink.
Really?
And it's amazing. And because it happens on the West Coast,
yeah.
If you're watching it East Coast, it's like it's like 2 a.m. and you put your laptop in your bed.
Wow.
But it's so cool.
That was my dream, like, until I found out it was mostly science and math. And yeah, it actually.
There's a lot of engineering.
There's a lot of engineering.
Half of the world.
Otherwise, the people fly off and then they die.
Exactly.
Yeah.
100%.
Protein spills in the ride.
We need to reconnect with Sam.
Oh, Sam was lovely. Sam was really
lovely.
Sam
is a tour guide at Disney who is an icon and a legend, and this is a big shout out to him.
He's a great American.
He's a great American.
He's a great American. And then he said he was coming to see you and Amy.
He came to D.C.
To D.C.
He came like the first weekend.
How have the shows been? What's that like?
The shows are so fun. I do hope you'll come to the Beacon.
I want to come.
Yeah, please come. Bowen's like, I'm going to stay quiet.
I'm coming.
We have the best time. It's the two of us. We take you on a little journey if we can. And we always have like one special friend show up. And we go to these cities. People are so lovely to come see us. And then we stay at a nice hotel. And I've said this before, but it is like we get up. Like the other night, I really did text Amy before a show. And I was like, right before we went out, she was on the other side of the stage. I was like, I'm getting excited about going to sleep. Because we do, like, we have so much fun. Like, I'm also learning, like, I love the part where we do the show. Yeah. And I was like, I guess some people go on tour because they want to party after the show or whatever, or they want to hook up. And I was like, I like the part where we do the show. And sometimes if we have a new thing and it works, I'm like, that works.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then I go home and I wash my face and I like stand in silence facing a wall. Like, I'm like a little robot.
You leave, like you let yourself like charge.
And I'm like satisfied.
Mm-hmm,
But I think this is just a function of like time. And I will say for Matt and I, it's exceptional if we go out after the show.
I mean, even yesterday, like we were in Bowen's dressing room, like, and Bowen comes in, he's like, all right, so the after party, and we were like at the same time, like, we don't know. We don't know. It might be a quick drink.
They were hungover from Luann.
So hungover
from Luann. I
had a
19-hour day.
But you guys look good. That's the difference. You still look really good.
I put on concealer because
you
the
put
cameras
on concealer today?
Today. Because the cameras. Because I'm inches away from people. It's
I love
not.
It. Yeah. If I knew how to do my own concealer, I would do it. Is it as simple as dot, dot, dot?
Kind of.
I don't know. Okay. I tried to do my makeup today, and I probably will see this and be like, oh, it was like coming from a matinee of playing Mrs. Lovett.
Did you see Sweeney Todd? You did.
I didn't get to. My husband went. I didn't get to see it. I was touring.
All right. Well,
I try to use that Rare Beauty blush, which is great, but it's so pigmented that then I do it, and I'm like, I'm either looking great Or
just Mrs. Lovett. Oh, it's Baby Jane.
Baby Jane.
It's Betty.
Have you checked in on the new feud?
I haven't watched it yet, but I think I will. I don't watch every part of the Murphyverse.
Yeah.
But that one, I'm like, you might get me. I do feel, I was like, okay, the PR is overtime. Because there's so many articles now about it. I was like, this is really what we're, this is top of mind in every paper. But it does seem interesting.
It is a lot of fun to watch just because of the like, atmosphere of it all. I will say the entire story of it is just, well, you know, Truman Capote befriended these women and then he wrote an article and they never spoke to him again. And that's literally
and
it.
That's gonna be
so
eight
I'm kind
episodes.
Of interested to see how it's going to be a whole limited series because even in the first episode, you get it. Like they're not talking to him anymore.
Right.
But then I'm thinking like maybe every episode will be like a bottle-ish episode and be getting more into the specifics of who these women were, which is going to be great. I need more Calista though at this moment.
Mm. I got three different line reads of Demi Moore calling Tom Hollander a venomous faggot.
Yeah, she with her whole chest gets to say a slur, and it's really fun to watch her just let it rip. They really let Demi go for it.
Yeah.
And she goes for
it. Yes, yeah.
And I loved it.
Well, I do think that is, you know, that he is giving these actresses, like, he's making people's phones ring.
Yeah.
Who maybe their phone wasn't ringing that much.
Molly Ringwald's.
Yeah.
Like, her phone rang off the hook for this.
And you know what Molly Ringwald has been doing in the meantime?
Translating French books.
Translating French books.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Lie With Me. It's a really sad gay French novel.
What?
Yeah.
She's really smart.
She's very good.
I believe that.
No, she's incredible.
Yeah.
She's a great American.
Well, one of my obsessions at this moment is Chloe Sevigny, now that this has all been happening.
Yes.
And apparently Chloe simply broke down on the day where she had to shoot with Molly Ringwald because that was how much
she meant to her.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
That's cool.
Oh, that's so
like,
sweet.
And Chloe, who's like the coolest, like you would imagine is like very unbothered about the whole thing.
Yep.
Actually, in interviews, like I watched her on Jimmy the other night and she's very like y'all. You know
like
what I mean?
Y'all.
Like, she's like, like everybody.
Oh, right.
She's like,
I
cry, I break down to Molly Ringwald just like you, me, and everyone else.
Yeah.
That's the shared, I guess, American experience. Yes. I'm kind of tying this back to a national sort of narrative.
Mm-hmm. Well, she also was like, they did this thing because, like, you know, she's obviously a fashion icon, Chloe. And they were like looking back at all of her, like, yes, iconic looks, because she was like that
she
fashion
really
girl.
Was, yeah.
She had nothing nice to say about anything she ever wore. She's like, oh, this no, this no, this no. And I was like, maybe that's what makes her such an icon.
But she also needs to keep looking.
Exactly.
She didn't just find a uniform and stick with it.
No.
She was like never satisfied.
Never.
Have we found our uniforms?
This is your uniform.
Sure. Okay. This is a cream-colored, long-sleeved collar.
You're going to, like, a strong basic.
Is it
basic.
A knit? Is it a sweat? Is it a...
It's a sweat. It's a, it's like a...
It's a sweatshirt material.
It's a sweatshirt.
Yeah, it's good.
So, but that's... I don't know if this is the uniform, though. It's the glasses. It's the...
I mean, yeah.
That's it.
You've changed your glasses, though.
In the last year, yeah.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I had my contacts in for the show, and then they had to audition different pairs of glasses for the sketch, and then one of them had an actual prescription in them, and I was like, oh, this one has a prescription in them. And then my dresser, Audrey, was like... laughing, and she was like, Keenan earlier had the same thing happen to him, and he said, there's medicine in these.
There's medicine in these glasses.
By the way, Keenan Thompson, and I'm not, and this is perfect, but this is truly like an apropos thing for me this week, where he was up till 4 a.m. with us shooting the sketch, just rallying everybody, keeping the morale up, like getting everybody out of like the 4 a.m. overnight shoot, like doldrums or whatever.
Team captain vibes.
What Absolutely. A treasure.
Mm-hmm. And again, as we continue to make the list of great Americans,
yes.
Who do we have so far? We have Sam Loomis, Keenan, who was somebody in
Chloe
between. Molly Ringwald.
Molly Ringwald. Yeah,
sorry, Chloe.
I mean,
Chloe. You're a great New Yorker.
Yes.
Amazing
yes.
New Yorker.
Top 20 New Yorkers.
Top 20 New Yorkers.
Absolutely. Up there with Hamilton.
Up there with Hamilton. And do you have any thoughts about what she has said? I guess in a Rolling Stone thing about how New York is all Lululemon and dogs, too many dogs. But as a recent dog owner,
yes.
What do you make of this? Like, and as someone who's been in New York for a minute,
yes. Are there too many dogs?
I haven't noticed anything.
There's a lot of dogs. Uh-huh. I mean, I don't go to like the dog park and that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I have people that do that. Yeah. My dogs poop inside every single day.
Oh, beautiful. Really?
Oh, they're a mess.
Consistent places?
Sometimes I'm like, guys, I'm the queen of Versailles.
Yeah.
I can't have this.
No.
And the dogs are like, we haven't watched that.
No.
Have you watched the series, Queen of Versailles?
No, someone just told me about this. I will watch it. I did recently rewatch the original.
Excellent movie.
Fascinating, incredible.
The series is a little bit of a cheapened version, I'll say. Mm. I'll say that on the record. But
a lot of great documentaries, they started thinking it was going to be about one thing,
mm-hmm.
and
yeah.
then it changes. That usually is exciting in a
doc. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Was that like the most famous example of that is probably The Jinx, right?
Is The Jinx.
The Jinx and also Capturing the Freedmans. Have you ever seen that?
I don't think I've ever seen it.
Oh, yeah. Well, first of all, because it's supposed to be about this guy who's a party clown.
Mm-hmm.
And then it turns out that he has this dark family history and they follow that. But you know that Silly Billy, the party clown, used to play the SNL holiday party up on 17. He would come and do like party clown stuff. Like when I was a writer. When like Norm MacDonald's son would be there, that era.
Uh-huh,
so
so
I saw the doc and I was like, that's Silly Billy. Oh no, Silly Billy's family.
Oh no, we know.
So no.
Did the party.
He was not.
What do you mean he did the party?
There used to be a little, you know what it was they would have when the tree lighting was happening?
Yes, yes, yes.
They'd have bagels and stuff and people would bring their kids, yeah.
Oh, they would bring their kids to
some
that?
Some people would bring, you know why? Because Lauren's kids were little. That's why.
Oh, that's why. There are no children about.
Yeah.
It's just the bagels, and it's like the meeting's happening. Like your sketch might get picked, it might not.
Yeah.
It's like there's a lot of weird tension, but then the lighting is always a beautiful moment.
It's a nice moment. But we were talking. You asked about New York, and does New York have too many dogs? Probably. Does it have too much Lululemon? I mean, it's a mix in my neighborhood. It's a mix of like there's a Lululemon, and then everything else is vacant.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I guess I'm in LA most of the time where it's just all dogs, and so I just kind of accepted that me not having one is I'm wrong, and I should get one. I also like now I'm starting to feel a little guilty that I don't have one. Do you remember when I hosted that dog grooming?
I
hosted a dog grooming competition show called Hot Dog, HAUTE.
Sure,
excellent.
And there was a day, where. It was like rescue dog day.
Oh.
And they made me hold one of these dogs and give a direct to camera, mm-hmm. like, don't you want to save a life? Like, how would you feel to know that you could have saved a life
but
didn't? And then I like handed the dog back and I was like, okay, see you guys later.
Anyway,
and then I felt bad. It was like, We need to help.
We need to help.
The message, that was the help.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. You did the PSA, was the help.
I did my thing. I can be fun uncle to these dogs, actual children.
Yeah.
I'm ready for parenthood with the dogs, though.
With the dogs.
You want one. Well, he would be a great dog owner.
But I can't do it with the schedule. Yeah.
Because does no one brings their dog to SNL?
Oh, people bring their dogs to SNL.
Really? Yeah. That would be a bridge too far.
Oh, there's a couple people, but it's fine. Like they
stay in the dressing room.
They stay in the dressing room, or sometimes they'll bring them out. It's okay.
That's a different
it's
world.
Okay. It's a different. Yeah, would never have flown.
No. I don't think so.
Yeah. Right now, I think post pandemic, we're all like, we've had a rough couple years.
Yeah, let's everyone have what they need.
Let's make sure everyone's fine.
Yeah,
which I culturally must feel wild. I remember. But this just comes with starting out there, no matter who you are, no matter what job it is. If you start out there, it is always hard and it is always a cultural adjustment. But I just remember a time like pre-pandemic where I was just like, oh, I was terrified every day. Every day I was shaking.
Just to be there.
Just to be there. Yeah. And yeah, I would have never thought to.
Yeah, I went there. I was 97 when I went there. And I mean, that I see with clarity now, like the 90s were so rough, rough. Like,
in what sense? What do you mean?
Like kindness was not in fashion.
Oh, yeah, no. And it would get worse from there.
And no, mental health was like, what?
Yeah.
What is that?
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And that's why everyone ended up with some form of like temporary kind of OCD and PTSD, you know. Like, but even just when you look back at, you just look back at like 90s Letterman interviews.
Yeah.
Oh, totally.
And you're
like,
oh my gosh, he's just like haranguing a teenager.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we were like, ha ha ha.
Yeah,
that
got her.
That dumb slut. He got
exactly.
her.
That was the culture.
That 55-year-old man told that dumb teenager.
Paris Hilton will never be the same after that.
Well, but like the Paris Hilton thing, I mean, it's rough. Like, I don't like celebrate that interview necessarily.
Yeah.
It is incredible. And it's Letterman
so funny,
being the most Letterman in the best, not the best way, but in a way that you're like, it's Letterman. Right. And then, I've talked about this before, it was the thing that like Anna Dresden and I watched and we're like, so I guess the iceberg should be like, I want to talk about this thing and not talk about this other thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we
like,
modeled it after that interview specifically.
Oh, really?
That's... Yeah. Like, we watched that. We were like, okay, so like,
I just want to talk about my other thing.
Yeah, but it was like, that was the 90s too. It was like, really fucking...
Yeah.
Making you squirm a bit. And I don't
and
know
there's
why.
Just, there's so many things. Even people like, have you seen that? Again, these are all people that I, you know, hold nothing against them. Like, there's some old Conan clip where the lady from Melrose Place is on.
Heather Locklear? No.
Oh, gosh.
Someone else.
The other blonde lady.
Becca.
Courtney Thorne Smith. Thank you so much.
First of all,
Courtney Thorne Smith, and I forget. It's like, I don't know if it's Conan on one side and Norm on the other side or something. And they're just like doing a bit, like some kind of bit that she looks really hot or whatever. And she's just trying to tell her story from whatever it is, the pre-interview of like a funny thing that happened to her.
Yeah.
And it's like two maniacs on either side of her, and you're just like, oh yeah, that we're not doing that anymore.
Right.
But at the time, it was like, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah.
Okay.
And those are like, Conan is a lovely, kind, evolved, intelligent person. We all were, I should probably try to think of a story that I tell on myself instead of like, we were just hard. We were hard people.
Well, we had Seth Meyers on the show like probably about a month ago.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he was saying that like the best time, like that he felt like the winning season was probably like 2008, 2009. Mm-hmm. Like obviously
when you went back.
Sarah returned. Do you feel that way too?
Well, I feel like that was a crazy good time. And Seth was head writer and was doing a great job. And the world wasn't as dark. And yeah, for me, I felt like that was my like prayer for Owen Meany moment where I was like, was I born to look like this lady? I guess so.
Yeah.
But now it all seems so gentle.
Yeah. Right. I was there. I remember I was literally there. I remember one of the coolest ones was, it was the, I guess, Weekend Update Tuesday or Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. Thursday. They used to do specials, right?
Yeah, the Thursday thing.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Yes.
They would add those things. And I was, at the time, like, a standby person. Like, I would wait all the time.
Yeah.
And so someone at the line, like, was like, yeah, they give us tickets to the Thursday thing, so here you go. And it was you, Will Ferrell, and I guess Daryl Hammond, right? Like
doing,
and he was doing Bush and stuff.
Yep,
I think I remember that was the one that my parents were like, "That was a little too far." they were because they're Republicans.
Right.
That was a little too far.
I forget what I don't remember what the jokes were.
But right.
They were on board till then. And then they got back on board.
It
wasn't a rift.
They forgave.
Totally.
I'm Elia Kani, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow, thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
This is personally important to me, and I will never forget this. But I matriculated to NYU, lived with my sister, was not in student housing, and so I was very socially anxious about meeting new people. And I had researched the improv group at NYU in April of senior year of high school. And I'm reaching out to the Facebook page, throwback, and I message the Facebook page, when do you guys hold auditions? Does it work against me if I'm not in Tisch, if I'm just a science major?
Does it work against me?
I was so...
I know.
And then the person who answered me was Anna Dresden.
Yeah.
She was like, hey.
So funny.
She's so funny.
But just like, cosmically, there was something about that. And then she was like, don't worry. Good luck with your mini fridge rentals. Like, bye.
Yeah.
And then auditioned for the improv group, made it to the final round. And then I was like, I really hope I get this. Got the email from Anna Dresden saying, we're so sorry.
Oh, fuck.
We were floored by everybody. Please start your own groups. We shouldn't be the only game in town, blah, blah, blah. Game in town being NYU. The only improv group at NYU. I was like, okay, licking my wounds. My sister had gone out. I had the apartment to myself. It was Saturday. Michael Phelps episode of SNL. Mm. Tina and Amy were just going on as Hillary and Sarah.
Yep.
I get the call during the cold open live from Anna being like,
we made a mistake.
We talked about it. Just kidding. We're taking on two people and you and like you're in the group.
Yeah.
And then it was like this crazy shift.
Yeah.
Like something like.
The culture decided to be good.
No. It was just.
It's going to be a good time.
The trajectory was like perturbed in like the best way for
it's
me possible.
Mm-hmm.
But like you were like the fact.
I caused it.
You caused it. And no matter what you were like.
And Amy didn't. It was
and
just
Amy
me.
Didn't. It was you. But anyway, that's what I like will always fondly remember. Not that
Oh, that's a great memory.
Anyway. But,
that's a great memory.
Okay. But is this the thing then? Like starting at SNL when you did or coming back. Whatever the after party culture is at any given time,
mm-hmm.
is that informing what you and Amy do after the show? Where you're like, well, let's just go to bed.
Well, no, I mean, we used to, I mean, when we were at SNL, we used to go out until I had my first child. Yeah. And then I would sometimes begrudgingly go out and they'd be like, you have to sit with Lauren. I'd be like, okay.
I'm at that stage, but I'm childless. I'm a childless conceptual.
Yeah. But we used to go, but I never was an after. That was always, I'm like.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what that would even be.
No, I remember, I feel like one time Tracy Morgan had like, he did like an illegal private casino somewhere that Dratch went to. And like the next day I was like, it was insane. Like she's.
Of course.
I mean.
Of course it's insane.
But speaking of all this culture. Mm. So that we're talking about, in many ways, culture that made us like culture was for us. But we have to ask you this question. And it is, of course, a difficult question that is really open to interpretation. But Tina Fey, what was the culture that made you say culture is for me?
Okay. I've been thinking about this question. I struggled to understand it, but I think I'm going to try to frame it like, have you ever done those I am from poems?
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So if we frame it that way, I'm also much older than you guys. And so I'm really going back. I may say things that mean nothing to you, right?
We'll see.
I'm
try us.
Like, I am from watching Benny Hill as a family.
Good okay. For you. Yes, yes, yes.
What?
Yeah,
watching a weird old man ogle women in bikinis being like, this is formative.
As a family,
like it's on PBS, guys.
Gather
let's watch
around.
It. I am from, you know, a time when it just, our whole life was you go to Blockbuster.
Yep.
You rent The Stepfather. You rent the now incredibly problematic Sleepaway Camp one or two.
Yeah.
That's like, and you watch it with your, you know, gay friends. Uh-huh. Who, again, if you want to talk about how hard it is, like cackling at like knowing like it's horrible, like or like it's me and my best friend Marlene going to Pretty Woman when it first came out and immediately cackling, being like, we're the only ones that know that she's a sex worker and this is grim, right? That like okay, this week it's Richard Gere, but every other week, it's terrible. You know, cackling. What else? I mean. Real World New York season one.
Oh, yeah.
I remember getting up early with my brother to see the beginning of MTV.
Wow.
The first video.
Like Downtown Julie Brown vibes.
Like Video Killed the Like, let's put it on.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Getting up to see Live Aid.
Yeah.
And being so pumped that it was partly in Philadelphia. And being
wait,
like,
it was?
You guys, like, Phil Collins is on the Concord. You guys, Phil Collins is on the Concord.
Wow.
Yeah, it was for whatever reason, because the quality of the venue, it was in wherever it was, in Wembley, I guess.
It was Wembley.
And like Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia or something. It must have been the Vet.
I'm silly and stupid, and I thought it was just in the UK.
No, and that was the big thing, was they were like, Phil Collins is going to play with this band and then get on the Concord and play again.
Oh, Phil.
What else has formed who I am? You know, Sheila E., The Glamorous Life.
Wow, thanks for that. You know, Kelly Clarkson just brought her back. Sheila E.'s on Kelly Clarkson's album, and I feel like no one talked about it. Yeah, she's on the last track, and she's tearing it up.
Yes, like
Sheila
that's,
E.
Yeah.
We gave her a special culture award.
Sheila E.?
We did. We
oh
gave
my
her
God,
a,
that's right.
We gave her something. She's been recognized by this podcast.
Good. I'm glad.
As she must.
What else can I give you? You know, the Divinals, I Touch Myself.
The Divinals. Oh, yeah,
that was like, or like me trying to have to no success, trying to convince people that our junior prom theme should be There Must Be an Angel by Eurythmics. Nobody
the
was
theme is there must
I was
be
like,
an
just going to keep writing these papers and putting it in the box. No.
What was it ultimately? Under the Sea? They needed to get real.
Well, it was like Bryan Adams, Heaven.
Okay.
And then I think maybe senior year was maybe like This Is the Time, Billy Joel.
Wow. This is
which
the
was
time.
A new song.
Yeah. I love
wow.
that.
But this is the thing where I go, how would I have done? How would any of us do in like a bygone time?
You would love it.
The blockbuster of it all really resonates because it's also about going to Blockbuster and only ever renting two things.
Renting two things over and over.
Over and over.
Over and over. Watching another one was like Arachnophobia was a big one.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like there's a Martin Sheen one that I can't think of that was like a horror movie. Maybe that's right. And like also with my two good friends, Jim and Damien, who are brothers, who between the two of them are the amalgam that are the basis for the character Damien. And in their house, they had a back staircase that had been closed off and made into a pantry that was full of every kind of junk food known to man. And we would just go
those
there
were the days.
And get after it. And also just like
get after it.
Like it was the '80s. Like no one did fitness.
Yeah.
Your outfit was like a high collar thing with a blazer. Yeah. And like It was just like, the, and there were no
soda.
Phones.
Did you drink a lot of soda?
Drank so much soda.
So much soda.
Would eat like a cheese hoagie. So like a 12-inch hoagie with three kinds of cheese.
Yeah.
Really
and then
Philly.
Still able to poop.
Wow. Because I was young. Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
The body hasn't yet betrayed.
Yeah. And just think, I'm trying to think culturally too. It was like V.C. Andrews' Flowers in the Attic.
Flowers in the Attic.
The, reading those on like the beach at the Jersey Shore.
Yes.
Or like on the trolley to work.
This is so evocative.
Other weird things that I don't realize are like, I was obsessed with Paul Young.
Paul
that
Young.
That was like Every Time You Go Away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You liked like boy music.
Well, he was super cute.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and like SCTV used to be on after SNL 3 weekends a month, and then the fourth weekend it was wrestling, and he'd be like,
Who did you imprint on SCTV? Was it Catherine?
Oh my gosh.
Or Andrea.
Andrea and Catherine.
Yeah.
For sure.
Andrea
just
gives
so
me
aspirational.
The frisson, as you say. Did I use that right?
You used that right. You absolutely used frisson right. Frisson is the word of 2024. It's like
we need Molly Ringwald to translate.
It's just like a feeling of like something in the air.
The euphoria. Like when something is like, oh, I have the frisson thinking about this.
Like the
when
chills,
we mentioned Sam.
It's the tingles.
I got the frisson thinking about Sam getting us on Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind.
That's a beautiful ride.
I think that the boy music thing is like, that is also a thing. Like the men of the 80s and 90s.
You were allowed to be,
but like there was something, I'm going to say, like set aside like ogling and stuff, but like the men of that time.
Hot.
I sound insane for saying this.
You don't.
You could look up to men in a way that was like fine.
Yeah. You could look up to men and be like, I'm okay.
I'm okay.
More worried about what they were up to, maybe.
Not even that. I mean, I think they were good Americans.
Good Americans. That's going to be the name of this.
That's the name of this episode. No, literally, good Americans, good Americans. With Tina Fey.
But we also, we also were like Janet Jackson, Madonna, Go-Go's, like that's a long, Eurythmics. I remember when Eurythmics came out, like when the first Sweet Dreams came out.
Yeah.
And we were like, people were scared of them.
Yeah,
we were
like,
it was
like,
dark. Different.
Like she had that short hair and she was wearing a suit and everyone was like, what's happening?
She was haunted pop. And even when she did like Diva and like did do her own thing, like it was still, there was something sinister about it in a way that I loved.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, just gender bendy or.
The song Why by Annie Lennox.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I want that as I'm lowered into the ground, I think. Mm-hmm. Remember
but
that.
I do say revisit There Must Be an Angel. It's beautiful. Yeah.
Okay.
And also, I mean, Walking on Broken Glass, like there's a reason for it. Yes. Someone's going to sample that song and it's going to be...
Just the piano.
It's going to be on Stranger Things or something.
Yes, 100%. Yeah, like that song taking off the Kate Bush of it all.
I'm happy for the rediscovery as a culture.
You guys talked about this, that's the year of the needle drop.
Yes.
100%.
Yeah. Do you watch The Bear?
No.
Okay.
I have seen some of them, but not all of them.
Yes. Probably one of the most famous needle drops of this year is Taylor Swift Love Story on The Bear.
Oh, they did that?
They did that.
Oh.
And to get the Taylor Swift song must have cost a lot of money. So thankfully it paid off on The Bear. The Bear, you're doing excellent.
Yes.
You guys are crushing it out there.
They really are.
They really are. Yeah. It's so wild to see her like slay drama like this.
I am, yeah.
Yes.
I know. I have to go back and get into it so I can see where her character arc went because
I know.
She's so good. And I think it was like, I always like, of course, like, coming up with her, like we always knew she was so talented. But then I was watching Bottoms. Did you see Bottoms?
Yes.
I was watching her on screen. There's a scene where the camera gets way up in her face. And I think she's having a moment with her love interest. And I'm like, you got it, girl.
Yeah.
Like, she got it.
Big time.
Big time.
We were in the edit yesterday for, this pre-tape, every take I was like, oh, Io knows.
Pops.
She knows where to find the camera. But like, and then it would cut to me and it'd be like, what am I doing?
No.
Bowen,
you know what to do with the camera.
Do we all have this? Do we all have this thing where it's this, there is some dysmorphia, not be the right word, but it's like, I think it's getting worse and worse for me in terms of watching myself.
I've reached a point where I don't do it. Like unless it's something that I'm in charge of and it's like I have to edit it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, oh, I'm gonna make this movie and I have an idea. I'm never gonna watch it.
Yeah, I got it.
And that's like freeing.
Yeah, you know when it came out about the Four Seasons.
Yeah.
The gay group chats were popping.
Of course,
off.
Of course.
Oh, that's really exciting.
I'm excited about that too.
Yeah, this is gonna be good.
I hope so.
That's a good link up again with Tracy and with.
Oh, with Tracy and Lang, the best. Tracy Wigfield and Lang Fisher.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be
super funny writers.
The gays that remembered the movie were like, like they were very, very
totally.
Excited.
Oh, that's great.
Oh no, yeah, they're lining up already.
Mm.
I can't get over that my two movies from Blockbuster were the first Wives Club and GoldenEye.
That's
that was my personality.
GoldenEye.
That's where it started.
Okay. Like first that, Wives Club. Here, that makes sense.
Yeah, first Wives Club. Though you watch it now and you're like, it's so a movie of the 90s.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, it takes a bit to get into being a movie.
Yeah.
And then, yes. then it is. You know what I mean? But I kind of missed the days where it was just like, no, the first half hour is just going to be a lot of relationship building.
Yep.
Like a lot.
Yep. But is it any first act stuff that actually ever pays off in the end? No, right? That felt like a 90s thing where it was like, you just...
I think it's all worth it to watch them at the end sing You Don't Own Me. And I can't remember anything else about the movie besides that.
Yeah,
and you know who else you forget is in that movie kind of crushing it is SJP.
Yeah, she's great in that movie.
So good.
She's great in that movie. She's great in L.A. Story.
Yes.
Yeah. She's great in Ed Wood.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I've seen Ed Wood. Wait a minute, Bowen.
Ed Wood is so great.
That's a really good one.
Okay. I've got 2 weeks off.
Yeah.
I'm not doing
Wow, you do have 2 weeks off.
So excited. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to the Beacon.
I was going to say, except the Beacon.
Except the Beacon.
So wait, when you would have a vacation from SNL back in the day, would you go or would you just sit? Would you bed rot?
I think I mostly just sat. I feel like people at SNL do much better sort of self-care and living their lives. But I think in the beginning, my now husband was still in Chicago. So sometimes I would go back to Chicago for the week or whatever.
Yeah.
But no, I didn't. I never took one real vacation.
Yeah.
I'm just still learning how to do that. I'm like, all right, you book a trip and then you go there.
But yeah, right.
Can I say, like, I've never developed, I think my time is up. Like, I think if I haven't learned by now to like book a vacation on the 2 weeks off, then like, I don't think I ever will for my remaining time there. I'm just like, I don't have that thing of like that admin thing of like, let me book an Airbnb or something.
Yeah.
So I think there's something about working there that like makes you want to stay put because you're just like moving around a lot or something.
Yeah, you need to recover. The thought of going to the airport
doesn't seem
good after that.
No.
Never ever.
I literally did this when you were in town last season where I would like do a show on Saturday. My flight was at 8 a.m. after daylight savings, after the spring clock jumped forward. So I lost an hour and then went to the airport to go to London to then shoot. And I was just like, this is actually... This is CTE. This is like
my,
there's a part of my brain that's leaving.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I think
Oh my God, that sketch last night when I was like, and when the wind blows, I can feel my memory. Who wrote that?
Shout out to Asha Ward.
She hilarious.
Is crushing
she's
it.
This she's a new young writer. She co-wrote this elevator sketch with us as well.
That was great.
She is so damn funny. And yeah, no, she said that line to us on Tuesday night when she was pitching it, which was like kind of like going around with the idea. She was like, yeah, it's based off this People's Court, this actual People's Court episode.
Actual People's
where
Court
it was the plaintiff did have like the haircut was that her scalp was showing, obviously, not her actual brain. But then Asha's like, I think we're gonna make it her brain in the sketch. I was like, that's amazing. And then Asha goes, yeah, and I think I wanted to say when the wind blows, I can feel my memories like being blown away. And I threw my head back. I was like, you have to put that in.
Yeah, you must.
You must.
I did want to ask, so like when you're at SNL and also you're at the same time writing Mean Girls, like I guess what I'm wondering is like how long did it take you to do that? Because I remember like literally at the time reading interviews with you where you were like, I just wanted to see if I could do it.
Yeah.
And then you so obviously could. But like what was that process of like juggling that? Because that seems like a lot of work all the time.
I am trying to remember. I know I did a bunch of it in the summer. I feel like maybe it was over two summers because it was the first time we rented a house in Fire Island on... We both love Fire Island.
We both love it. We all love Fire Island.
Anna Gasteyer had recommended just doing that. And we went and we trash picked a desk and we carried it. And I remember Jeff's arms got like a huge, because you never, it's not Fire Island if you don't get a weird rash. Right?
Oh, no.
And he's like immediately got a rash. And I was like, oh, I think there was deer pee all over the desk or something. And so I must have been doing first draft the first summer and then the shooting. I remember the second summer was the shooting draft because I would get Mark Waters, the director, I would get pages of notes every single day. Uh-huh. And I'd be like, I think I did it. And then be like, okay, let's go through today again. He's like, page four. And I'd be like,
yeah. Uh-huh.
But he was right. It was like, it was stuff of like, where are they? This, that, could this be short? Like, it was like a lot of technical stuff. And there was a amazing woman named Jill Messick who worked for Lorne at the time, who she also was just like poking me, okay, like a lot of drafts
Between
in between unofficial drafts So I don't think I was doing it. I must have been doing it on weeks off.
Yeah.
I don't have a memory of doing it, trying to do it at the same time as the actual show.
Like, only because, like, and obviously, like, the movie is so perfect. It's just everything. It's one of those things that, like, just falls into place in every way. Like, I remember we were saying, it was one of those movies where you sat down and watched it, and I knew I was going to and had to remember every line that was happening. Yeah. I saw it with my cousin, and I was just like, this is a really special thing. And then going to school, I remember, like, I was like, all the track girls, I used to run winter track. This is a specific, but I would run track and I would practice with all the girls because we would just talk about things like this.
Yeah.
And everyone knew
it.
Wow.
All the lines.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because I watched my one friend sort of, I could tell she wanted to be like Regina George in a way where she didn't really get it. Mm-hmm. I was like, you don't want to be actually mean. Like, right. But the way she started speaking, I'm like, it truly
pervaded.
Took over. I remember it was that and Anchorman.
Yeah.
Where it was like, and I remember as a gay kid too, I learned the language of Mean Girls because that was what all the girls mm-hmm. were doing. And then Anchorman was what all the boys were doing. And right. So it was sort of this like code switch.
You had to code
thing.
Switch.
Yeah. And I remember taking my dad to see it. Mm-hmm. And like, he was so excited because it was coming from you. And cute. I remember it was just like this like moment that felt like a unifier like in high school because everyone thought it was funny. Everyone thought the cast was amazing. And I really wanted to ask about Rachel McAdams because this is essentially is mm-hmm. a Rachel McAdams stan podcast.
Yeah.
We could just talk about her and no
and
one else.
And we should,
absolutely.
Yeah.
But like, I was reading an interview with you recently where you were like, you mentioned like watching her act like changed the way that you approached it.
Yeah, because I had never been in a movie before and I didn't know what I would go and be in the scene. I had only done SNL and I wasn't even really in sketches on SNL. I just did update.
Right.
So I would be like, I would literally be like, in my head, I'd be like, I don't know if I'm on camera right now. So I'm going to try real hard every time.
Yeah.
Like, didn't know to even ask like, if I'm in this part of the setup.
Sure. Right.
And she, her performance was so small
yeah.
that I remember being worried and going to Mark Waters and being like, I don't know. And then you get the dailies and it was like,
yes. Yeah,
perfection.
Uh-huh,
but it was very, it was small. It was a film performance.
Right.
It wasn't like me, like,
we talk about
that all the time, like the sketch mentality of coming in one mode, especially like, because we didn't have any acting training coming up. We were like creatures of the basements, you know, like any of us. And then all of a sudden, you book a thing where you have to be on camera acting and they're like, hey, just throw it away. And you're like, I don't know what
does that mean?
Talking about.
Yeah.
But you learn. But the difference is then when you see people on SNL, when you see someone like Io who understands the assignment, to use a now old phrase.
It's back now though.
It's back. I brought it back. She understands what she's supposed to do and what sketch requires. And then you compare to, well, not name names, but you see people who come in who have only ever done film, whose performances are built in the edit room, who have no internal sense of pacing or even energy. They can fuck up a show.
But they can slay the pre-tapes.
They can slay the pre-tapes.
Slay the pre-tapes.
Pre-tapes for them. Pre-tapes. Yeah.
Literally all we want to tell people now at SNL, like all I tell the hosts all the time on Wednesdays, especially at 3:30, I go,
fast and loud.
We were just like, just do it fast and loud. Fast and loud.
Wow.
And that usually
is plenty.
Dials it in. It's plenty.
Yeah. That's what Amy talks about how, because we do a Q&A in our show and like we often get asked like, you know, who are your favorite guests and stuff. And she's like, I love athletes because they're used to being coached and they don't care. And you can just be like, just do that. They just do it louder and like say it. Like, and they're like, okay.
You also get a sense that anyone with like a Disney kid pass comes in there and tears it up.
Yep. Also, by the way, people who've done, then there are fewer and fewer of these people, but it used to be people who had done soaps. Because like, you know who got his start on soaps? Alec Baldwin.
Alec.
Wow.
Julianne Moore.
Right.
Yes, Julianne Moore.
Make a choice. Make a choice and go.
Get Lisa Rinna to host.
Oh, come on, this Lisa. Is, Julianne Moore, I think, well, and that's, I think our favorite movie of the year is May December. We fucking love May December.
That's your favorite movie of the year?
We love May December.
It's up there.
I enjoyed it, but
That and Poor Things were my...
I haven't watched Poor Things yet.
Oh, you'd love it.
Oh, you'd like Poor Things.
Yeah.
It's great. Emma's another one. Like, comes in and like just tears up SNL, obviously.
She gets it,
And gets it it on camera, obviously.
Yeah.
But Julianne Moore, I guess, because what's so fun about the movie is it's like purposefully a melodrama, right? That insane music.
That music when she's like, we're out of hot dogs.
Yeah. With her insane accent. But then she was talking about like, she's like, well, you know, I started in soaps and I actually did the archetype of like
the twins.
The twins, the evil twins. Like the amnesia twin.
Yeah.
So it wasn't even just amnesia or just twin. It was both.
Wow.
Acting opposite herself, wanting to kill herself.
Incredible.
Kill the other. But
that
like,
makes all the sense in the world to me.
Wait, you said that about Alec too, though, where it's like the Rachel McAdams thing where it's like just
so quiet.
Where you're like, is this going to work? And then you watch the dailies, you're like, oh my God.
Oh my God.
There it is.
And sometimes, you know, real stars, they don't really do what they're going to do till you're on their right. close up. And uh-huh. so, you know, you look at those first two seasons of 30 Rock and I'm like, hey, and he's like, you won that one, sir.
You won that one.
It really is wild, though, because you do a take and they're like, okay, we're moving on. And you're like, there's no way we can. I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, you get the performance of a lifetime.
No, we loved
you
it.
Just won't ever know because it wasn't fun for you at all.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
But it worked for us.
Yeah.
Back to Mean Girls really quickly.
Yeah, like, please.
How many times did you see it in the theater? Because you brought your dad.
Three. So I
four.
Saw four.
Oh my God,
for you.
Bless your four heart.
Oh, come on. I mean, like, first of all, like, I wonder how this feels to it. Because to join this thing of like, it was like Heather's, it was Clueless, and then it's Mean Girls. And that has to be really meaningful.
Very meaningful yeah. to me, yeah. Because those, you know, Heather's and Clueless were hugely yeah. formative, yeah.
yeah.
I mean.
This is my thing. This is my specificity with it. Is there was like a website, 2004, 2005, in that time of the internet called like the script database or something. And they would either have the screenplay, oh, yeah. the original screenplay of the movie, oh, of right. any movie you could think of, if they had it, the original actual like, PDF or the scan or whatever of the script, or they would have a transcript. And then I remember reaching out to the admin of that being like, I will transcribe Mean Girls for you.
Oh.
And then he's
and
like,
did you do it?
And I did it.
And then that's breaking news.
And this guy was like, God bless you. The demand for a movie has never been higher than for Mean Girls.
The fact that you did that
and I was
is
like,
so funny.
I'm going to do it. And I wrote the fucking, like, oh the slugs God. And the
you
descriptions.
You wrote Mean Girls.
I didn't write, I transcribed Mean Girls. He was like, well,
you were Molly Ringwald.
14.
Wow.
Oh my
I was, yeah. This is what I said. I said, I can get you the script. And then this guy, this like 30-year-old man was probably like, you mean the actual like Tina Fey like draft? I was like, no, no, no. I'm just going to type out what they say. I like didn't know. I didn't know what he was looking for. He was like, I don't care. I'll take a transcript. I was like, oh, that's yes. Of course. Transcribing.
Wow.
Yes. I will write out what they say. I'll say, Katie says that, you know, like,
yeah.
That was the level of
that's
like
crazy.
Fucking, yeah.
There's like joy in every scene. And I guess what I feel is like, you forget like that such big deals came out of that movie too. Like Amanda yeah. Seyfried, like she's just so yeah. in the fabric of the movie,
yes.
having fun doing her part, mm-hmm. that you forget that she would then become like
an Oscar Amanda nominee.
Yeah, hello. Yeah. And I mean, it was, it's like that down to everything. And mm-hmm. I wonder like in shooting it, did you know that it was like, did you have a feeling that there was something special happening, which feels like a question, like
I know.
A boring question, but like, because it did yeah. end up being culturally significant.
Thank you. I feel like, I mean, part of the reason that it worked is because those girls were so legit and mm-hmm. took it seriously and yeah. played it so real, you know, yeah. If they had been campy about it, because I think that's the thing I try to sometimes pass on in whatever writer's rooms, or whatever, is like no villain thinks they're no one's the villain yeah, in their story.
Right.
Like Regina's whole thing is like, it's hard. Like she's going to come crying to me and then I got to help her. Like,
yeah.
No one's the villain in their own story, right? And I think they all played that perfectly because, you know, and you can see now, like, oh, Regina's a villain, Janice is a villain, Katie's a huge villain. Like,
yeah.
everyone's making mistakes and they played them all perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, I think I was just at that place of like, basically like, is it gonna air, you know? Like,
oh, right.
we're gonna, it's gonna get made.
Yeah.
That was the triumph in my mind.
That's refreshing to hear because I think Matt and I are in that mindset right now where we're just like, we're working on things and we're just like, let's just not worry about the contours of this. Let's just like, the goal is just to get it made.
100%.
Period. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
I read this book, I think it's called like Wild and Crazy Guys, and it's just a little nonfiction book about that span of time where like, it's like Steve Martin, Eddie Murphy, yep. Bill Murray, Dan, it's like all of when they all were blowing up
mm-hmm.
and what movies got made and whatever. And so many of these movies that are just canon to us,
yeah.
they were like, didn't really open. You know,
I don't care.
Like, you know, I watched it 100,000 times, whatever, The Man with Two Brains or,
yeah.
you know, like that was just, they just were movies,
yeah.
you know, and
yeah.
to like not worry too much mm-hmm. about like.
How it does out
how
the
it
gate.
Does.
Right.
Yeah.
How many theaters.
It is just. You wonder like how many things we would actually love so much that it just get written off. I wonder about that all the time, mm-hmm. like with the way the industry is now, like how many things aren't getting made
yeah.
that like
yeah.
are actually going to be things that we think about in 15, 20 years. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Like it feels very far and few between that you get something, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think movies still are tighter. Yeah, like I feel like TV, because there's just so much more. Like you are getting, like you're getting Reservation Dogs. You're getting, you know, Simon Rich's weird show where the
Simon.
We know that's what Bottoms felt like.
Yeah, totally.
So refreshing.
Well, she's like incredible. So, Emma Seligman, the director of that. Phenomenal. She's like, I think she can do anything.
She can.
And like, between Shiva Baby and Bottoms, I know. I was like, and we love Rachel.
We love Rachel. Mean,
so it's happening.
Like, and you know, my daughter's 18, my older daughter, and that is, Bottoms is everything.
Yeah. Really?
Everything.
Right.
Yeah.
It's her Mean Girls in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. That's so cool. I mean, it is this thing where like, maybe we're just, because we're like in it, we have some awareness, we're like reading like the Inkler or whatever, but I'm just like, the survivorship bias of it all is really hitting me where I'm just like, oh yeah, if I think too hard about the things that aren't getting made, then I start to get, I start to lose my mind a little.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I'm still going to the casting of Mean Girls. Did everyone audition for that? Like, did you get a tape from Lizzie Kaplan, or were you like,
gosh, I think so.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Right? It just feels like there can't have ever been a time when there was like not those people.
Not those people.
It's one of those things. It's like,
yeah, I think so. And
Lindsay had worked with Mark before.
Lindsay was coming. She had a lot of heat coming off of Freaky Friday. And
there's also Mark Waters.
I think maybe. I can't remember. We should fact check for sure.
Okay.
But yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And she came, and she, I remember she came by SNL just to like hang out and be seen, because she, I think she wanted to be considered.
Yeah.
She wanted to play Regina, which I think.
Yes.
And Lauren was, what always wise, was like, no, you want that person to be the person who takes the trajectory to Regina. He's like, that. He's basically like, that's the part that you want.
Wow.
And she was like, okay.
But was that when both you and Dennis were head writer, or no, when he
probably
was doing it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah.
I love Dennis.
She was also a killer on SNL.
Of
she was
course.
Killer. Amazing. Yeah, people who like acted as kids also, they're just like, where do I stand and what do I say? Yeah. Let's do it. Miley Cyrus, where do I stand? What do
Kiki
I say?
Palmer, Locked and Loaded.
Kiki Palmer,
everything.
Yep.
Kiki Palmer.
Which is why we need to push more children into show
business. 100%.
We need
to
feed the SNL host pipeline by ruining children.
If there is like some sort of surgical Neuralink type procedure to just to implant that thing in actors of just like stand here, say it loud, say fast it
fast and loud. I never. Yeah. You guys had that at the same time too. That must be like
fast
a thing.
And loud. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fast and loud. Was it Sudi would say that to, and then Celeste and I say that now, like to all the hosts. We're just like just project. That's our thing. But we're nice about. We're not like we're just like just fast blow through loud. Fast and loud. Mm-hmm. And it works.
I bet it does.
Anyway,
I mean. Vibes were incredible.
Vibes were incredible.
They really were. I mean, from home.
They were nice. Yeah. They were nice. Are you watching every week?
Not every single week, but I try. You know, what sort of got me back into the every week was Alice being old enough to and like wanting to stay up and watch it.
Uh-huh.
But she was not home last night because she was at the cast party for her own high school musical.
What are they doing?
Do they do?
Well, the prom. She killed it. They all killed it. They were all great.
That amazing. Sounds like a tour de force.
All girls production of the
prom. Oh, really?
Oh, that's even more. Oh, that's beautiful.
I love that.
I know. It was super cute.
Of the prom. Okay, so that is a hilarious idea to think about someone playing Dee Dee as like a child.
And by the way,
like, but it's not
this
about
girl
me.
Killed it. Oh, I wish I had video for you because she killed
it. I bet. Oh my God. That's the, like, people are like, if you could do one role, what would it be? I'm like, I know. It'll never happen, but I'd love to do Dee Dee in the prom.
When you, I
had to do drag for the show I was in last year, and like I put this little wig on, like a little, you know, side swoop, like not exactly Catherine Zeta, but in the world.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think I am Dee Dee. I know I am.
You're Dee Dee.
You know Jeff, my husband Jeff.
Yes.
Yeah. So he often brings up that, like, back in musical theater, like major college, that you take makeup class, and part of makeup class was always like you had to do drag or whatever. Like, you had to like swap with your makeup. And he really likes to brag that he looked, this may be too old a reference for you, but he's like, I was very pretty and I looked like Barbara Mandrell.
Oh my God.
He's like, I was very pretty. I'm
have
like,
you
all
seen
right.
photos? Could you confirm?
I have not seen photos.
Okay,
but
well.
You should tell him to put on a face again.
I know. He has a beard right now, but.
Oh, right.
But he might shave it for the opportunity.
Yeah. We might show off Barbara Mandrell. Just tell him if he wants a stage, we do something called the Culture Awards every year. He's welcome to come out and give his full Mandrell.
And then you can judge whether he still looks like Barbara Mandrell.
Oh, we're not.
Barbara Mandrell, also, you're kind of almost there with the drag name anyway.
Totally. Mandrell. And then.
This is what I'm saying.
This is what we're saying.
The opportunity is looking riper and riper.
We're not going to judge him. It's going to be like a fucking VMA situation where he knows ahead of time that he's winning the award.
We were saying that's the VMAs because the Grammys are today. And we're like, we think people don't know if they're going to win a Grammy, but I think you know if you're winning like a VMA.
Yeah.
I bet. Yeah.
Because Taylor Swift has changed her
flight. No.
She's changed her flight. Yeah. She's changed her Instagram to all black and white, which we believe means there's an announcement coming.
Imminent.
And I'm like, well, I wonder if Taylor Swift could find out in advance if she's winning a Grammy. But like, because if someone could, it's probably Taylor Swift, right?
Probably.
You don't know what the Oscars, you don't know what the Emmys, you probably don't know what the Grammys.
Yeah.
It's not people's choice.
No.
Which you've won a ton of these things. They call you before?
No. I feel like I do remember one time with the Golden Globes, like Alec was nominated for 30 Rock and he wasn't, and he was like, can we just call them and ask them if I won?
Yeah.
Because I felt like with that one, maybe you could have.
Yeah.
And I don't think he was able to, and I don't remember if he won or not, but he was like, surely this one, they'll just tell me if I have to go.
And well, I mean.
I bet they would.
If it's Alec. Whatever.
Well, especially the Globes at that time.
I know.
By the way, your guys' host. Would you guys go back and host again? Or
oh my gosh, I don't know. Like, it's a thing because we ended the last time we did it was this weird like Zoom one that was a bummer. We did used to have so much fun doing that. We really did.
You guys were the best at it.
The Zoom one can't be the period on the piece.
Oh, that's a tricky one. Yeah.
Not to put the pressure on.
I know, but we could either try to erase the Zoom one or. Well, NBC doesn't own it anymore.
Right.
It's
you know, me, you. Countess Luann. We work for NBC.
You got it.
We're Comcast girl.
You don't want to upset Lou, who's in charge of NBC these days.
Right.
I will say she was on one the other night. She is alive up there.
That's great.
She goes for it. And it's so funny because you watch the early seasons and you're like, this woman's never going to become a cabaret star. And then you go to 54 Below and she was doing covers of Oh, What a Night.
How do I ask this delicately? Has she been working on her singing?
Can I say?
Because everyone does.
It's so deeply
Taylor Swift did.
Yeah, you know what? 100%.
Right.
Here's what I'll say. There is a quality to her voice that I think limits what it can do.
Yes, it's
period.
Low and raspy.
Yeah. It is so low.
It's a B. Arthur.
It's a Carol Channing.
It's a Channing, yeah.
It exists where it exists.
Right.
And so I think we're picking songs that just the keys are two steps down from what they even are for the men she covers.
Yes.
But I will say there's something sort of she really knows her range.
She's matching pitch.
100%. And you're never going to see her like go for the money note.
Right.
No. In fact, one time she did go for the money note, and it was more like I'm joyfully making a big sound than it is I'm hitting a note.
Yeah. Which it's just about the selling and the delivery of it.
Yeah.
I think her range being what it is the perfect extra dimension to her performance. And I think she knows that now. And I think she's like, let me just have fun.
Yeah.
I know I'm not the best singer. And we're saying this with love, Lou.
Well, there's a lot of people who, if it's like, if you know how to put your show together.
Yeah.
And give people, and also if people know what they're signing up for.
Yes.
We were signing up for 4 red sangrias, yes. I found.
Yeah.
And
sangria. That is barf juice.
I don't know what it was about it that made me feel like this is the drink tonight.
Sugar and wine. How could you?
This is also what got me really, I make like a quote unquote famous sangria, winter sangria for holidays. Okay. It's just so much booze. And I literally was just like, yay. And I realized no one likes it as much as me. But because I made it, I feel it must get consumed. And then you're blacked out on Christmas. And I don't even get drunk like this. No. It's only when I'm drinking red sangria.
NYU, before pre-21, if you didn't have a fake, the place to go was Little Italy. You would just order like a...
The House Chianti.
Well, no, you would order like a huge pitcher of sangria.
And cottage, too.
It got you there. Well, cottage, wow. It's Chinese restaurant.
Do you remember the
Chinese food?
Yeah, the Chinese place. Yes. Cottage. So they're long
gone. Two of us
and
Steph Hsu of Everything Ever, Oscar nominee Steph Hsu would go there in college and get wasted at 19.
And drink red wine. What was that?
It was worse than Two Buck Chuck. It was something worse than Two Buck Chuck.
Fermented Welch's grape juice.
Yeah, 100%. Yes. I had my birthday there. It was like a party of 25 underage kids getting so much of this red wine.
So much. But wait, in terms of putting together a show, though, just quickly, was it like you and Amy being like, what do we want to do? We just want to sit down?
Because
like,
it would be easy to just do that. I mean, we do it all the time.
Right, just sit down and do a Q&A. We did this, like, a little test run of like Netflix is a Joke last year. Just mostly a Q&A and a couple little like really undercooked bits. And it was easy and fun. But we sort of thought like, we should have a little bit of structure. Uh-huh. And so we do. I feel like this is a really nice little structure. I don't know if I should give it away because we may keep touring. Yeah. But like, it has sort of like 4 parts.
Uh-huh.
There are wardrobe changes.
Oh, love.
There are 1 to 4 wigs.
Yes.
Oh, good.
Depending on the night. Uh-huh. There is a little bit of improv.
Okay.
There's a little bit of stand-up.
Come on. And a special guest.
So the structure, it reminded us of Golden Globes times because we always have such a, it's over 30 years
since
that we know each other.
Very special.
So we do really have a shorthand of like, what if we go XYZ? Like, there's no ego in it. There's like, we've both been producing things for a long time. So I do feel proud. I feel like we're giving the white women that come to see us and other people too. But let's not fool ourselves.
And 30 something Asian gay
men. And beautiful Asian gay men. All are welcome. I feel like we're giving people like what they want.
Yeah.
But also it's like hopefully a little bit surprising as it goes along. But the answer is like, I was on set. We were finishing filming the Mean Girls movie in Middletown, New Jersey. And Amy and I had been working like once a week over Zoom, being like talking about what the show could be, whatever. And then we had from the day I finished, and it was a very tiring, fast shoot. It was like a lot of late nights and whatever. And so that was, say I finished on like the Monday, and then like the Saturday, we were like, our test show was in Port Chester. So she came and we had like 3 or 4 days. It was very much like the Golden Globes. We were We got this. And we just sort of finished figuring out the show, and we've honed it some since, but it is sort of like, you know, when you write stuff and it's born quickly and it just comes right out, it's usually a good sign.
Yeah, yes. Totally.
And the structure kind of just slipped right out. So
when did you realize there was like music to you and Amy? Like, I wonder, like, so you guys have always been like friends, and I think, I don't know how true this is, but like you were at SNL and like put her name in their ears and then she came. Like,
yeah. So we started, you know, we started together at Improv Olympic.
Yeah.
Sharna Halpern said to both of us, this girl, you're gonna like this girl. We'll put you on the same team. And we were the only 2 girls on a team inside Vladimir. And
which is a really gay porn title?
That's what it was named on. Yeah, it was named after a gay porn VHS tape that was on display at JJ Pepper's on Clark and Broadway.
Oh my God. And, huge for them.
We named it after that. And then as a team, we were like, we should all watch it once as a group. And then we're like, we watched like the first 10 minutes. And then people drifted to other parts of the party, except for like 1 or 2 of the straight guys that just hung in.
Yeah, right? Code switching icons.
Yes. And so we toured together. And then she and we were both understudies for the main stage, and she was 100% the A team and I was the B team. Like, I remember one time Kelly Leonard was like, you know, so-and-so's going, Dratch is going on vacation and Amy can't, she can do all of the nights except one. And I was like, so I get it. And he's like, no, she's going to do all the nights except one and you're going to go on one time. And I was like, okay. But, and then she left to go do UCB show in New York.
Yeah.
And then I did main stage, literally only because she left, or I would have been waiting another 2 years behind her. I was John Glazer's understudy.
Oh wow. John Glazer.
Pinata Full of Bees. And he is such like a gender neutral in his comedy that I just was like, yeah, you can just step right in.
Totally.
Because it's all just like wonderful weirdness.
And I both read for a John Glazer assistant part in the show, and I backed whatever. We love you, John. He and his wife listen to the podcast. Anyway,
oh, they're the
John.
Best.
Yeah, they're the best.
So I great. See them on Fire Ants when I was in the summer.
By the way, I didn't even mean to do this, but I realized I had my merch.
There you go.
Fire Island Pines.
Show it. Sorry.
So then I ended up trying to get a writing job at SNL, and Adam McKay hired me, and I started, and then, so at some point, I guess after the UCB TV show ended, I was like, but would you ever come over here? Would you ever audition? And I feel like it was sort of brokered that she was like, basically like, I am not doing Three Through the Door. Like, I'm too established to come with my characters and my box of wigs. And so it was some kind of in between. It was more like a camera test.
Right.
There was something where it was like, I'm not going to work too hard.
Yeah.
Forever the Enneagram 8, the Challenger.
Enneagram 8? What is that one, the Challenger?
Yes. That's
what are you? Do you know you?
Three.
I think I'm three. What is three again?
The Achiever.
Oh, now that I know this is a thing, I'm going to become obsessed with it.
Amy's obsessed with it.
Oh, yeah.
You need to take the test tonight.
Okay.
What's it? Oh, Amy's an 8.
Amy's an 8.
Is it 1 through 8?
It's 1 through 9.
9.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's 9?
I forget what 9 is because I don't know a lot of 9s.
Dangerous.
What's it called? Like your echo 4? What is it called?
A wing.
Wing 4. I think I'm wing 4 and I forget what 4 is, but.
Oh, this is exciting.
Yeah.
Oh, this is going to take over.
Do you ever dabble in astrology?
I know I'm a Taurus. I don't believe so much in astrology because it's random, but I'm not the Enneagram stuff. It's because I've been on tour with Amy for the last 17 weekends, so we're talking about a lot.
Yeah.
But I do put more stock in it because it's based on you answer a million questions.
Yes. So it's actually,
and it's like based on you and what you think and how you react.
Right. Correct.
That's the word, qualitative.
Yeah. So with the you and Amy thing, like, would you consider yourselves opposites?
No, we're not opposites. Yeah.
Because it presents as that in the comedic duo, which I guess, we've been talking about this a lot being this, but like, it's funny how you present
our,
that.
Our
so
personas are opposites, right? Because it's more like I'm sort of tightly buttoned up, and then she's more like little like Boston dirtbag, whatever.
Yeah.
But we're both actually pretty bossy. But yeah, I just to answer your question, like when did I realize that we're sort of more powerful together?
Yeah,
I remember before, like Jimmy. I was doing an update with Jimmy, and then he left, and I felt very abandoned because I was like, he left.
We had a good thing going.
And I did tests with other people and stuff. And then Lauren was doing that Lauren thing. He was like, what do you think? Like leaving it sort of up to me. And there was part of me that was like, oh God, I think I'm supposed to want to do this by myself.
Right.
Like that's the power move. But I was like, but I'm a sketch person. I'm not a stand-up.
You wanted a partner.
Right. And at the very like last minute, I remember I was coming back. This is too much information. I was coming back from a train trip from Washington, D.C., where I had weirdly and presciently taken a photograph for like the cover of, I don't know what.
Oh, is this the John McCain thing?
With John McCain.
Yeah.
Like in 2000, whatever, but way before 2008. And I had to make the decision on the Amtrak ride back.
Wow.
And I called Amy and I was like, would you do me the great honor of being my wife? And then it just worked from there. And I think by the time the Globes and the Hillary and Sarah, all of it all, it just was like, oh, people do.
Yeah.
Like us together.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the music to it that you're asking about.
Yes. I mean, I just, because it feels like, again, it feels like that thing that always was, but there had to be a time when it was decided, like, oh, yeah, this feels really good.
Yeah.
Because, and I think that's like, just feels like this synergistic thing that must have always been.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I mean, but it kind of has been for a long, like maybe the credit goes to Sharna.
It sounds like, yeah.
But like in terms of you guys building out the structure for the show for Restless Leg, like that is interesting to hear about because I feel like with Globes, it was you guys looking at the established structure of like what an award show looks like and then being like, let's go out with mustaches and be like nominees for Dog President, a movie called Dog President.
Dog President.
You know what I mean? like form breaking. Like I was like, I remember just watching, I was with my friends watching that first year of the Globes and just being like, oh my God, this is incredible.
This was also the joke structure they handed to you guys, which they don't do anymore, which as a woman who dot, dot, dot in a dot, dot, dot.
I love that little format.
I wish they would do that because sometimes they would just like describe it in such a weird way and they're on the actor like
and she has to like nod
as a total idiot. You know what I mean?
Total idiot who looks terrible until the end.
Yeah, who looks terrible even now.
Yeah.
Julianne Moore.
Matt Rogers, dog president.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the things I think we knew from like I felt that we brought producer brain to the table to the Globes, we were like, front load it.
Yes.
Don't come out. And I've watched other award shows since where I've been like, oh, no, 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 my darling.
Yeah.
Do, at the end of like the Oscars, don't come out at like 10:50 with a long ass bit.
No, everyone's
tired. Everyone who's still in the room has lost.
Yeah.
Get out of there.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So like front load it. Don't go too long.
Right.
Work the room. And also literally just like say who you are and remind people who how they know you. Like just I feel like we had just training from SNL of just like watching a million monologues.
That's a Lauren thing of like, okay, like most guys are gonna be in the cold open and monologue and like before update, like that's like above the fold in terms of like newspaper speak. Right. It's like it's common sense to us, but it's also like things that I guess like people don't think of all the time. And that's okay. But it's also like I feel like the biggest boon of working there is to like see a different version of let's just say like fame every week and then to be like, oh, I can behaviorally adjust myself based on what I'm witnessing.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right. Which of these paths seems like a good path? And
that sounds weird to say, but I don't know.
So speaking of like the famous of it all, I wonder like you've probably met everyone at this point, but then you're in the Golden Globes room and it's literally like, is there anyone who throws you off?
That is a great question. I have to say, after so much time at SNL and also just being 53, where you're just like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And you've seen like you've seen so many waves of culture and you're like, guess who used to be a big deal and isn't anymore? Like whoever you are, it will pass, right?
Right.
Totally. And also having had to go make crazy phone calls and have crazy meetings and be like I've had to do things like, can you call Mariah Carey and ask her for the rights to this song and I like and once you've done like I don't know if I can think of a person that I'd be like you're such a big deal
because even Oprah has been your colleague.
I have met Oprah.
I mean on one of the most iconic.
So there you go.
But
so,
the winning over Mariah is huge because you got her with Mean Girls and you have her for life.
She loves Mean Girls.
She loves Mean Girls.
I know and I love her.
Wrote a whole song about it.
One of her best songs.
Yeah.
To our
so obsessed with me. Yeah.
Do you like the new? Do you like the new? The Renee and Megan song.
I love it.
It's all I'm listening to. Do you like it?
I listen to it all the time.
Do you like it?
Renee is a real one.
A real star.
She's a real star.
A real star.
She came on this podcast and it's like her voice in that movie. Were you at the Jimmy Awards when she won?
I was at the Jimmy Awards.
Do you know this?
With Brandon
you
Scott.
You were at the Jimmy Awards?
There.
Me, Joel Kim Booster, Brandon Scott Jones.
Cruising. Matt Whitaker. Cruising.
Down
cruising.
We were cruising. Oh, no. We were there. And then Renee came out. And then Laura Benanti was hosting the whole thing and being like, and just on stage, Laura Benanti saying like, if I had the confidence of that girl, I would have no problems. And it was just, you could tell from that night.
Yeah, she's a star.
It was just.
And the kid that won was Andrew Barthelman.
Barthelman.
The Jennifer Lawrence movie, No Hard Feelings.
And Evan Hansen, right?
Evan Hansen.
That was a big year for the Jimmys.
The Jimmys. Yeah. The Jimmys of the future.
100%.
The other thing that I loved about Renee on SNL was her live vocal was right up front in that mix. Right up front.
Mm-hmm. Right in the zone. Mm-hmm. Totally.
You could hear it was live.
Yeah.
100%.
She was great vibes. And then at the after party, she was like, I don't do like big spaces. I was like, you're so cool.
I know, she's so cool. Great Americans. Great Americans.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes. I guess identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I think it's time to move on.
Shall we move to I Don't Think So, Honey? Okay, so this is the segment, Tina, where we take 1 minute to rant and rave against something in culture. And I'm going to get a little specific, and I apologize to you in advance.
Oh, no.
But I think you need to make some changes.
Oh, God.
Okay. I know, but don't be scared.
Okay. This is Matt Rogers, I Don't Think So, Honey, about me, I guess. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, Bo and Yang, no deodorant in your dressing room.
Oh, get out.
Because I think it's a staple, right?
I don't need it. I don't need it, babe.
My thing is, like, I needed it. And you remember that you have guests. And some of them are going to be in that hot little stuffy dressing room, and your dressing room is stuffy.
Oh,
and I'm turning around, and as I said before, no, not a deodorant in sight in my apartment. Only Axe, which I didn't find till this morning. I feel like, Bowen, we need to rethink and restock your dressing room with the essentials.
30 seconds.
Because there's a lot of fancy good whiskey. And no deodorants, no nothing that's going to actually get us to the end of the day, the end of the week.
Oh.
Because it was smelling in there, and I apologize to you. But you had a lot of men in your dressing room last night. And
15 seconds.
It stank by the end of it. And I'm telling you, like, I just couldn't believe you didn't have your little essentials. You do have a lot of good cologne.
I do.
And
well,
which is better than Axe.
Five seconds.
Okay, but I'm just saying, like, in terms of the sweat and the antiperspirant, you could be doing better. I don't think so.
And that's 1 minute. I had Tums available for our friend Dave because he had an upset stomach.
Yeah.
I have so many other... This is the thing about working at SNL that I'm never going to get over. You could have had the worst week professionally. Mm-hmm. Not the worst week, but just a rough week professionally. Mm-hmm. Or just at the show, let's say.
It feels bad.
And then you still have to host your friends and make sure they have ice and get drinks for them. I'm like, this is the thing that I don't love.
And
that,
then,
like
your aunt and uncle are coming to take them to the party.
Yeah. And you're like, well, it's a light show for me. And I
will say, I did check myself when, like, I think it was a couple years ago, like, a few of us were in your dressing room just, like, having the time. And I think it was, like, a week where you were having a hard time. And you came and we were just like...
What do you mean?
But just because, like, you don't want to be like, woo, like, come on, get on up on our level, when it's like, I am at work still. And I do respect that.
I'm sorry they didn't have deodorant. I'll get a
I just felt bad because I reeked.
You needed to have a little basket, like, in a wedding reception ladies' room with, like, mints, deodorant.
Yeah. I have Grethers Pastilles. I'm going to get mints and deodorant.
He does have Grethers Pastilles. Does everyone know where you got the Grethers Pastilles? Yeah, and tampons.
Yeah, and tampons. Cynthia Erivo gave me Grethers Pastilles.
Cynthia Erivo gave him the best singer lozenge in the world.
Yeah, it's great. I owe Debbie also Big Brother's Pass.
Big Brother's Pass deals.
Yeah, she had them at
all the greats.
Well, I'm sorry. I will do my best to.
No, I'm kidding. I just didn't want to smell so bad.
That's okay.
And also, I'm being a little like, I'm erring on the side of caution. I don't think so, honey, because I got absolutely dragged for the one I did last week, which was people should not be riding Taylor Swift so hard for the private jet usage. Because you don't want her to ride commercial.
I saw that. And you're like, what is she going to fly? And like, have a
layover? She going to be in the Delta Lounge?
In the Delta Lounge.
Yeah.
I was teasing everyone, and the girls absolutely dragged me. Because I'm harmful.
No.
I'm harmful.
You're the real problem.
I'm the real problem. Apologize to everyone.
I've got one.
Okay, Bowen Yang.
I might be biting the hand.
Oh, baby.
We'll see.
This is Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. My co-host doing ads for The Tiger's Apprentice, now streaming on Paramount Plus, and naming off the cast list, Henry Golding, Greta Lee, Sandra Oh, Michelle Yeoh, but no mention of Bowen Yang of
I
me.
Didn't.
I normally don't mind,
okay.
But it's my own podcast. I'm giving Paramount a platform. I saw Mean Girls in theaters 4 times. I went to go see Mean Girls the Musical 2024. I'm a supporter of Paramount. Of CBS, of Viacom. I've had many wonderful experiences working with Viacom, CBS. And I can't even get a damn mention in the ads and the promo material for this movie that I had a great time doing. I play Sidney the Rat. It's a movie where the 12 animals of the Chinese zodiac team up to fight an evil in San Francisco.
Oh,
Michelle Yeoh plays the villain. a mutual co-worker with our guest, Tina.
Mm-hmm.
But Paramount, please put me in the damn credits.
And that's 1 minute. I personally like to apologize for not improvising in the ad that you were
but
in.
But I don't think, but deadass, you did not know that I was in that movie.
No, deadass, I do know that you're in the movie, but you know what it's like to do ads, and this is sort of a peek behind the curtain. It usually happens at the end of a podcast when you just want to leave.
Yeah,
you're like, coming soon to Paramount Plus. It's going to be everyone but Bowen. All right, see you later, everybody. I
just want to say, when I Love That...
I didn't go to the mat for you.
When I Love That For You came out and we were doing ads for I Love That For You, I made sure to really make your name an emphatic part of that. I just expected better from you.
I expected better from you is one of the really hardest, harshest things.
Can you imagine
to hear?
If Amy said that to you?
If
your best friend and comedy partner said, I expected better from you on the air.
Oh my gosh.
That
that's rough. Yeah. That's rough.
No, anyway. I expect better for myself. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And from now on, I will always say your name. I'll sneak your name into projects you're not even in.
Thank you.
And then maybe just like, and you have deodorant for me. Let's have each other's backs more in the future. Because there's a magic here and there's a music
there's
here.
There's a music here.
And I've always known it.
That's an equivalent exchange.
You're the Tina and Amy of your generation.
You know what? What if?
Don't.
Should we host the Globes? Are you passing down the
yes,
crown?
Yes, you should host the Globes together.
That room is going to be like, who the fuck are those guys?
No,
they wouldn't
no,
say that.
They would
two
not.
Joe Coys. They'd be like, who?
No.
They're like, who is that
guy?
I said
to Bowen,
they
I was like,
would be like, it's Joel Kim Booster.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that keeps happening to you guys.
Yes. And they'll be like,
and Zachary Quinto.
Zachary Quinto.
No, but you really should do that because together are so much more fun.
I would love to do it
with someone, with you.
I'm throwing our name in there. I was like, yeah, we're going to do it. And Bowen was like, no, not the Globes. And I was like, well, I think they're back. I think now we know they're back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure. They're back. Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Are you ready for this?
I think so. Okay. So I will say, I was like, I was kind of sweating this because
I, you know, again,
53, I have nothing but opinions, right? I have violent opinions about everything, but I'm also constantly afraid of getting in trouble.
Okay.
Yeah.
So,
do you want to audition some?
No, I think I'm in an okay area now, but it also, like, I do have backups if we do it and you'd be like, no, do a different one.
If we're like, no, you'll get crucified for
but
that.
I was thinking about my own fear of crucifixion and it led me to my choice of topic.
Okay. Here we go.
Okay. So, and I may look at my phone because I'm old. Okay.
You have to. This is Tina Fey's I Don't Think So, Honey. Time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Bowen Yang giving his real opinions about movies on this podcast.
Ah!
I regret to inform you that you are too famous now,
damn
sir.
It.
I know.
What's going to happen? You having a problem with Saltburn? Quiet luxury. Keep it to yourself because what are you going to do when Emerald Fennell calls you about her next project where you play Carrie Mulligan's co-worker in the bridal section of Harrods and then act 3 takes a sexually violent turn and you
seconds.
Have to pretend to be surprised by that turn. You have to have a clean paper trail, nothing negative. Everything everyone does is amazing.
Yeah.
A okay?
So
you hang out with Ariana and SpongeBob. Now that is your life. Okay. And Matt Rogers, I can tell you, you got about 1 year left and I then know. You, yes, learn from my mistakes. Learn from IO. Podcasts yes. are forever.
5 seconds.
Authenticity is dangerous and expensive. I don't think so, honey.
This is actually, that's what's going to end. That is so
that's
real.
That's an all-timer.
That's an all-timer. And you know, they're starting to come for us, the people that listen to this, and like, they don't say their real opinions. And it's like, yeah, I don't think that anyone needs that. But sometimes it gets harder.
It gets harder.
I know. I bet it does.
And then they're also digging through our stuff and being like, well, there was a period when they didn't like Taylor Swift.
Yeah, there was actually a period where they didn't like them. So to hear them be so sycophantic now is really crazy. They call us bootlickers. I'm like, you guys. It's a walk doing this.
It's a dangerous dance.
Yes.
And it's impossible.
Yeah.
It's really crazy because the fact is we do have strong opinions about almost everything.
And that's what people want and why it's authentic. But also,
what do I do when Emerald calls?
What are you going to do when, yeah.
But I personally, and I cannot expect this of everyone, if someone's not a fan of one thing that I've done, if someone was like, I didn't love Fire Island, I'll be like, no problem. I'll still be in a sketch with you. I'll still like take a meet. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, but if Emerald Fennell, if I'll still take a meeting, take if a Emerald meet. Fennell had gotten on a podcast and absolutely destroyed Fire Island and said, this is bad, I didn't get the performances, and Emerald Fennell said the words, I don't think Bowen Yang has ever pulled it off, you would feel crazy.
I would feel crazy, but I'd be like, that's our, I was like, no
but
problem.
But it hurt, she's entitled. That Emerald.
That was, I forgot my one note that I didn't get to was I was, at the bottom was going to be, I don't expect you to stand with Dave Chappelle at Goodnight. I'm not a monster. I'm not crazy, but I do need you to hug Mark Cuban like he is your long lost
yes!
father, like
oh
Jimmy did.
God.
And also, why did Jimmy do that? Why was Jimmy hugging Mark Cuban
Jimmy can do whatever
like they
he wants.
Won the Super Bowl together?
Jimmy was so happy. I know, but Jimmy was so nice and he sent me Milk Bar cookies.
Well, that's why Jimmy's the best because he's
best.
Capable of joy.
Oh yeah. My God. No, and we need that. And I was, by the way, people are like reading me for like in the Barry Gibb talk show sketch, like looking agitated and bored. I was like, no, I was like
playing in the sketch.
I was playing right. in the sketch and being like, oh, there's the guests are supposed to be like a little yeah. perplexed. I was like, you guys. But that was fantastic.
Honestly,
fantastic
though,
read.
This is a genuine question. How would you do this podcast? You know what I mean? Like, how, like if you're us, how would you continue to do this podcast, which started in 2016 when we thought there's no way anyone will ever yeah. listen to it even once.
Yeah.
And we sort of established this thing of like, we see things, we talk about it, we're honest, we have our little fun yeah. with things in the pop culture. And then all of a sudden, that does become hard because someone who might be a dear sister to you.
Right.
Might be
right.
Not
I mean, I do think you guys,
board.
You guys are thoughtful and gentle. And if you say you don't like something, it's not just like, just to be jerks. So, sure. You know, you obviously were very thoughtful about those movies, but it does become a thing where it's like, oh,
right.
Do you want to be people who keep it real and have their podcast forever? Or do you want to be goddamn movie stars?
Oh my God. What if it's the former?
Then go, then.
Then I think we're
then
doing,
you're,
amazing.
Doing amazing. But my trail of mistakes lives behind me, like fucking
right.
Jacob Marley's train, like just chains of shame. Like yeah. I'll just use this real name from my high school in
right.
Meadows.
Oh,
like,
God.
And then hit this person like that wasn't even, it just like, I liked their name. Like,
yeah,
it's nothing to do with them.
Yes.
And then I'm like, that's a level
and
of shame.
And you hear they're now going inpatient because of what you've done.
I mean, God forbid. And then like, just, and then like update jokes that you're like, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I don't care. And then you're like, oh, right. And then, yeah, like so many kinds of these mistakes that you're like, why did I?
Right.
What?
Especially the thing with the IO thing. It's like, so someone like J-Lo is so famous
right.
and yeah. has been so famous for such a long time that literally everyone in the world has said something probably incredibly positive and negative about her just because that's like a colloquialism
right.
almost. And so for her to get dragged so much for this, not only do I think it's like uncool, but I'm like, guys, this is not
yeah.
a Pandora's box we want to open of let's dig up everything everyone said on the
no,
internet.
No kidding.
It will be an apocalypse.
Right. That sketch was like, why did you say it? That was funny too.
That was great.
They threw that line in after Friday, after that news broke. It was just fortuitous or the opposite in terms of like it's IO and J-Lo being on the same bill for SNL. Like that's the only reason it got
yeah, played. That's you know, the, like, but yeah. that's like even that is just like guys, it's just I don't think anyone's gonna stand by every single thing they've ever said and it is
right.
tough. And then when a lot of people do start listening there is a weird rub and so like honestly that I don't think So Honey comes at a really
it's
interesting
a good,
time
it's
because
a good
I'm
lesson.
Thinking
you
about
are catching
it a lot
it, yeah.
I catch it all the time and like I honestly also sometimes I only ever think don't take my opinion seriously. I'm like a dummy with a podcast. podcast. Like, I'm just trying to have fun with this. But people do take it very seriously.
Mm-hmm. That's not up to you.
And that's not up to me. And also, like, however, and I've literally never heard from like an artist or anyone that's done anything out there and said, what you said on your podcast really hurt me.
Right.
But like, I don't know if I were to hear that, I would definitely certainly feel bad.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
I don't want anyone to feel anything but good after having listened to it, but it is a thing.
Yeah. That was a good impartment.
You've imparted on us.
You've imparted on us.
It's been so long since we've been imparted on.
Open a window. Tina. We imparted in here.
Oh, yeah. To be imparted in this way. Woo, we needed it. Wow. Well, this was just a joy and a half.
Oh, what a delight to talk to you. I enjoyed the podcast so much.
Thank you for even saying that. And I just mean, like, truly, like, this was wish fulfillment for us, to say the least, to even have you here and even know who the hell we are. So this
was absolute pleasure.
Oh my gosh.
We love you.
We love you a lot. And oh, by the way, get tickets to the show. Is it all sold out?
The Beacon might be sold out. Yeah, we still have a show coming in Seattle. Thank you for knowing that. In Portland, there might still be tickets because we have to go back because the city froze and we had to cancel the show.
Right.
But everyone who was mad on Twitter, if you couldn't get to the show that still happened, I think you can get tickets. Great. Like, we're doing the right thing. So everyone calm down.
We're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
It's really culture number
I'm pretty
eight.
Sure. Yeah.
Calm down, we're doing the right thing.
That's just generally applicable.
Then let me see, what else should I be a professional about? Oh, yeah. Girls 5 Eva.
Yes.
Meredith Scardino's amazing show.
Yes. Oh, it's so good.
All three seasons come to Netflix. So you can see Bowen Yang. You can see so many wonderful people. I believe March 14th. I hope I'm right about that.
March 14th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of our dearest friends, Matt Whitaker.
Oh, the best.
I
love Matt Whitaker. Yeah, I still text with him sometimes.
He's a big, we saw Appropriate the other night on Broadway together. Uh-huh. He's a great theater going friend.
Yes, he is great.
Yes.
He sees everything.
He sees it all.
And then Mean Girls 2024. Mean Girls 2024. Still in theaters.
My mom and aunt saw it the other night and their review was this. We loved it. You know, it was different because it was a musical.
Yeah.
And I said, that was.
Yeah, that was one of the ones that I was like, oh, I can't do this and I'll get in trouble. I wanted to be like, I don't think so, honey. Little Broadway cunts on TikTok complaining about two lines of Revenge Party when I bring you fucking Renee Rapp.
I bring you
Ali Crivello, Jaquel Spivey. Jaquel. This is why we can't have nice things.
Avantika.
Avantika.
She
showed up to the after party yesterday. I was like,
she did?
I was like, that's her.
Yeah, when the original movie came out, she wasn't born.
No, this is, see, and that, I wonder if that's going to happen is like, now we're going to start watching it and it's going to look like, in terms of fashion, like really dated. And I'm going to be like, oh my God, no, it's becoming the Clueless of it all. Where you watch Clueless now and you're looks, like, oh, can you imagine why wearing that?
Oh,
it's going to be like that so
no,
soon.
No, no, but for me, like the fashions of those movies are like Frozen and Amber. Like, you know what I mean? It's like,
because they're all back now. If you walk out the room looking like Sharon Dion, you'll get the coolest bitch at the party.
It's not even the loop back around. It's just like, no, that just kind of looks cool in the world of the movie. Anyway. Okay, we end every episode with a song.
It's not my fault. You came with him and she only with me. It's not my fault.
Now, who wouldn't want to fall in love with me? I haven't moved one girl.
Are you off book?
Interest me. No, I don't know.
Okay, well, you should be off book.
You should be off book.
Readers.
Bye.
Bye.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blue part?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.